Everybody knows who Project Veritas is and what they do. And recently they stung I'm not quite sure how to conjugate that, but a PBS lawyer resigned after being caught in a Project Veritas sting. Now, the reason I bring this up, this article is from Tuesday, but this came out in the language of it was fascinating to me because you look at the way that they editorialize this story. It says a lawyer for PBS resigned Tuesday after being caught describing President Donald Trump as, quote, close to Hitler in a right-wing sting operation. Michael Beller, a contracts lawyer in PBS's general counsel office, was recorded offering political opinions in what appeared to be a barroom conversation with a woman. It was released Tuesday by Project Veritas, a conservative group known for using undercover methods to reveal supposed liberal bias. Look at that, just that little bit, it's just right back at you, supposed liberal bias. I would much rather people just come out and say, I have a bias. I do it. Jack Stein has a bias. I have no problem saying it whatsoever. Am I an objective news source? Try to be as best I can. Yeah, but the bias slips in from time to time. As objective as I can be, I'll let you know when the bias comes out. It's going to come out right here. Because when you don't admit that you have a bias, what are you doing then? You're actually lying. When you say that you don't have a lean or a slant, when you don't say, well, I'm a left-leaning individual, when you don't preface what you're saying with that statement, what comes afterwards means what? Because you have to let people know where you stand philosophically, right? So, again, Michael Beller is a principal counsel of PBS, tells Project Veritas reporter that they will cause riots if Trump won the election. Here's what that sounded like.
Anyone buying the names of a lot of Republican voters and Homeland Security with their children. And we'll put them into re-education camps. And these times, which are unique, we need Trump's home is close to him.
It's difficult to make out, but here's the basic translation. Beller is heard saying that it was great that coronavirus cases were spiking in red states because they might infect Trump voters, and suggested Republican voters should have their children put in re-education camps. And when people tell me, I say, man, Jack, the people who are on the left are just nonviolent. They're just peaceful people who want to get along. Well, I don't hear of anybody on the right talking about people dying and then putting their children in re-education camps. That is some Cambodia-level nonsense that I will not stand for. And he works for a government organization. PBS is government-funded. He is a government employee. Now, they say that he's a contractor. He is paid by the government to do that job. So PBS came back and said that there is no place for hateful rhetoric at PBS, and this individual's views in no way reflect our views or opinions. There are people out there that legitimately think like this. There are people out there who believe that if you are a right-thinking individual, if you are a conservative-thinking individual, if you are an independent-thinking individual, that you are in need of a re-education camp. And they say it unironically. And I don't say that to scare people. I don't. Because it obviously that will never happen. I'm sorry. You ever look at a Trump supporter versus a Bernie Sanders supporter? I would much rather, if I had to get into a physical altercation, which I hate violence, by the way, but if I had to get into a fight, I'd much rather fight a Bernie Sanders supporter than a Trump supporter. Because a Bernie Sanders supporter is someone who drinks a lot of soy milk, a lot of whey, a lot of wheatgrass. There's not a lot of pumping iron. A Trump supporter is like going to be like some dude who's working in a steel mill in Philadelphia for the last 50 years who gets into a bar fight every weekend. I'm just saying, Peyton, tell me I'm wrong about this.
No, you're on the point, man.
But point being, there are people out there who really do believe that people are in need of re-education, that you have a flawed thinking. And instead of doing what I proposed earlier, which was this idea of, well, we need to be patient and we need to be evidence-based and we need to have compelling arguments and we need, again, patience, kindness, empathy. That's the way we're going to win hearts and minds. You're not going to do it through brute force whatsoever. That should be everybody's objective. But what if you don't have a good argument? What if you don't have a compelling argument? What if you're not patient? What if you can't be kind? Then what makes sense? Well, forcing people into education camps and re-educating them. That's what you need. You need to show them videos of Bernie Sanders lecturing from the 1980s. You need to show them images of Fidel Castro. You need to show them images of Joseph Stalin being very proud. I used to work with archived footage back when I was in college. We were working with archived footage from the Soviet era. It's really quite beautiful footage. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to come out and say, "Whoa, it's despicable." But this, in the Soviet era, they put a tremendous amount of effort into making their major metropolitan cities look beautiful. They put a huge amount of effort into it. So they would have people gardening and industry, and these are the things that they chose to film. What you don't see in any of the footage, none of it whatsoever, are the tens of thousands of people who are out doing agriculture and out doing labor. They don't show those people because they were miserable. They were absolutely the most miserable people. And those people who are out there were getting re-educated. They were the ones who were having to sit down after a hard day's of labor, and they were sitting down in these massive tents or in churches or what used to be churches, and those were the people that were getting propaganda read to them. It's the exact same thing that happened in Cambodia, and it's the exact same thing that happened in Vietnam. So when people talk about these things, I'm not trying to freak people out, but they have a vision of this in their brain, and it has been tried before in history, and it never works. It hasn't worked before, and it won't work now. So another thing that won't work, by the way, Black Lives Matter. Everyone's so concerned about the inauguration. Everyone is so deeply concerned about what's going to happen on the 20th. There's a lot of information rolling around the FBI saying extremist groups are planning on going to the Capitol. I could not hate that anymore. I despise the idea that people would try to harm another human being, go to the Capitol with guns, weaponry. I despise that to no end. But Black Lives Matter showed up, and they decided that they were going to clash with police over the Capitol Hill fence. So again, this is protesters chanting Black Lives Matter slogans on Wednesday clashed with Capitol Hill police outside the fence erected last week to keep Congress safe during the presidential-elect Joe Biden's transition to power. They were saying things like expel all fascists, and they were just chanting, and the general thing that we see from BLM. But one of the things that this group is called Shut Down DC. And they said, it's not enough to impeach the president of the United States. Not enough, they say. We need to expel the members of Congress who aided and abetted and facilitated the political conditions to allow a fascist mob to overtake the Capitol and have five people die. These people don't understand what fascism is. I know that's a fun key buzzword that people like to use. Fascism is a very particular structure of government, which I will not bore you with at this current moment, but fascism in no way, shape, or form is comparable to American conservatism. American conservatism is what? I want to be left alone. I want to have my business. I want low taxes. Fascism is high taxes. Government owns your business, and government is in your life on a daily basis. They could not be more polar opposites. And yet people like to use the fun word. I like to use the word fascist. Don't get me wrong. I call my dog a fascist. When he wants to go on a walk and he starts getting upset, he starts whining at me, I call him a fascist right to his face. But point being, these individuals are out there and they say we need to expel the members of Congress who aided and abetted and facilitated the political conditions. What do you mean aided and abetted and facilitated? You mean engaged in a democratic process? Is that what that's supposed to be? And so these people think that they can use force, and apparently chanting is now force. But Shut Down DC claimed that they would calmly reclaim the space that Trump supporters overran on Capitol Hill last Wednesday. So they're talking about a sit-in. They're going to go into the Capitol, they're going to go into the rotunda, and they're going to have a good sit. And thankfully, the Capitol Police said, no, if you do not leave, you will be subject to arrest. And rightfully so. So after the announcement, protesters began chanting at the police, with some accusing police of allowing the Trump-supporting protesters to storm the Capitol. On that note, I have seen a tremendous amount of footage and a tremendous amount of still images of the Capitol Police being very brave and trying to hold back dozens of people, them sharing gas masks because there weren't enough actual gas masks for the police. I have seen them physically trying to hold barriers up from people going into the Capitol. I saw nothing but bravery. So when people are saying, oh, we saw Capitol Hill Police taking selfies with these rioters. Well, if I'm a Capitol Hill policeman and I'm trying to keep the situation calm, and somebody comes up to me with a camera and shoves it in my face and wraps their arm around me, what's going to keep the situation calm? Just picture this in your mind. You're a police officer. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of people around you. They're milling around. You're trying to get people to leave. And then someone comes up to you out of nowhere and grabs you around the shoulder, puts a camera in your face. Are you going to shove them away? Are you going to start beating on the guy? You've already seen your friends getting beaten. What are you going to do? you're going to stand there awkwardly and take a selfie, which is what happened with the Capitol Police. So they're saying that these guys facilitated it. I just don't see it. Also, these individuals at the Capitol, the BLM individuals, they decided to say no cops, no KKK, no fascist USA. Again, a very tired and trite phrase that we've heard many, many times. And then they, again, accused the police of only protecting Trump supporters. How vile. How gross is that? I don't know of anybody that would want to be associated with that organization. I have no idea why anybody would want to be affiliated with that organization. If that's what you're going to be, if that's going to be your mantra as BLM, which again, if you take the phrase Black Lives Matter, truth, yeah, full stop. All lives matter. My life matters. Your life matters. People's lives matter. But then if you have to add on all this nonsense on top of it, you have to compact it with, oh, the fascists and the Trump supporters, why would I want to affiliate with those people whatsoever? I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. We got to toss to traffic real quick. When we get back, talk about Liz Cheney. Article came out in the New York Post saying that there is no future for a Liz Cheney GOP, and it touched me. It touched me, and I thought, yes, this is exactly true, because I have been saying now for about 2 or 3 weeks that I think the GOP is it's antiquated. It's running on a model that just simply doesn't work anymore. The Democrat Party they've upgraded themselves. They've become this this coalition, right? They've become this group that facilitates and is made up of all these different factions, and they all war with it. But now the DNC is a new kind of machine. The GOP needs to update itself. It needs to become modernized. It needs to become a party that people want to affiliate with. We saw that. We saw that in the election. We saw more Hispanics voting for President Trump, more black people voting for President Trump. The GOP needs to update its message. And I think there's a way to do it. And I'm going to get into that. But before we get into that, Liz Cheney is operating off of that old GOP notion. She is operating off of this idea that you can be a squish, that you can be a wishy-washy politician, that you can say, well, I don't like impeachment here, but I like impeachment here. Just a quick example. Here is Liz Cheney from when President Trump was impeached last year. Here's what that sounded like.
If the House impeaches here, Madam Speaker, it will create exactly the type of risk the framers cautioned us to avoid. It will mean that divided government can imperil a democratically elected president based on unproven allegations and innuendo in the absence of direct testimony. Despite all the rhetoric you've heard today, Madam Speaker, passage of these articles of impeachment may permanently damage our republic. From this day forward, a hyperpartisan bare majority can cite this precedent to try to remove a future commander-in-chief. I urge my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Madam Speaker, think of our republic, think of the Constitution, think of the oath that we all swore to protect and defend that Constitution, and vote against these partisan, reckless, and dangerous articles of impeachment.
See, now, if she had said that yesterday, she would have been a hero to the Republic. If she had just cut, copy, paste, she didn't even need to show up. She could have just had somebody play that same recording for the House, and we could have been done with it. But no, she decides to release a statement. She decides to release a statement because she's operating off of this old GOP model, which is to concede and to be fine. Just, okay, well, you know, I guess I'm going to be like a... Because she sounds like a moderate Democrat. She doesn't sound like a member of the GOP. She doesn't sound all fired up. She doesn't sound like she actually... I'll tell you what. She releases a statement, and CNN could not wait. Could not wait to read it on air. So here's the statement from Liz Cheney choosing to impeach President Trump as read on CNN. Listen to the voice.
Liz Cheney, the number three ranking Republican in the House of Representatives, she just released a statement saying that she will vote to impeach President Trump, that she will vote to impeach President Trump. She says, talking about the insurrection, that this insurrection caused injury, death, and destruction in the most sacred space in our republic. She yes. said, the President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. Yes. She said the president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. I will vote to impeach the president.
If only he would have released a video an hour into the riots. If only he would have taken the time to put that video together and tell people to go home. If only he had... Oh, wait a minute. You know what? He did. God, he did do that. He did tell everybody to go home. Man, no... And listen, you hear just the glee in that woman's voice as she reads that statement? Just the liveliness, just giddy. So pleased that Liz Cheney, a D-list member of the GOP... No one cares about Liz Cheney. I have no... Do I look to Liz Cheney? When was the last time you heard Liz Cheney on anything? Policy? Well, what does Liz Cheney stand for? Anybody know? What does Liz Cheney... When was the last time you heard Liz Cheney give a powerful speech? Or she said, these are the principles that I stand up for. Can anybody tell me? No, you can't. Because she's only doing this because there's a faction of the GOP that thinks that we can go back to 2012... That we can go back to being those kinds of individuals. Very just, you sit with your hands in your lap and you just kind of nod and you say, yeah, well, we really care about the deficit and we really care about individual rights and we really care about business. And you just be a nice, quiet little Republican and you go about your business. Liz Cheney, it comes from that faction. And you can't roll back the clock at this point in time. The GOP has altered. In a significant way. It will never be that thing again. It will never be the party where you can claim that Mitt Romney is a racist, where you can claim that John McCain is a racist. It will never, simply won't be that way anymore. Because look at what President Trump has done. And again, I have many, many things to criticize President Trump for. One of them is not what he has done to the GOP. He's shaken it to its core. And you're actually seeing now members who are willing to stand up for things that they believe in because of President Trump. They're actually willing to stand up and say, I do not support this whatsoever. I think it's a complete and total joke. Now, Liz Cheney thinks that it's good politicking to come out against President Trump. This is a huge mistake. We're going to get into this later, but something like 91% of all members of the GOP would vote for Trump again. It's a new stat that just came out. People who voted for Trump would vote for Trump again. Wow, right? So she's taking a dramatic misstep. People think that President Trump is this dark figure in American politics and no one's going to want to associate with him. This is entirely wrong. President Trump will go on to be a kingmaker. Now, just a quick piece of audio. Here is Patrick Schomader. He's a political science professor at Seattle University, and he said Wednesday's vote has a lot to do with the long-term health of government, especially as the Senate begins its trial. Here's what that sounded like.
If they vote to remove the president, but he's no longer in office, that still opens up a lot of punishments that they could impose on the president, up to and including making it so that he could never hold any office ever again, which would make sure that he could not become president in 2024. One thing we're going to want to keep our eye on, both as the Senate moves towards impeachment and further down the road, is whether or not the Republican Party is going to be able to pull together after this, or if we're going to begin to see the Republican Party fall apart.
So that's a pretty stereotypical professor position to take. That's a very collegiate position to take, trying to look at this in this kind of theoretical way, but not actually on the ground, not actually what is happening. When I look at people who are Trump supporters, they are the most enthusiastic supporters. They are the most enthusiastic base in the country. So you think that Trump is just going to go away? You think that President Trump is just going to go away? No, absolutely not. He will become a kingmaker. And moreover, this assertion that President Trump will not be, that he somehow can be impeached after he's left office, no dice. I don't see that happening whatsoever. What court would hold that up? What court is going to say that you can impeach somebody who is no longer in office? It makes no sense because the purpose of impeachment is to take somebody out of office. So again, this whole impeachment process is for nothing but the political imagery. It's for the optics. And anybody who's for it, this is going to backfire in the worst way politically. And I'm talking about the members of the GOP, the 10 that decided to side with the Democrats. I have no idea what prompted them to do that other than a massive, massive misstep. They are not reading the tea leaves on this correctly. As a matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi's not reading the tea leaves on this correctly either. Because, again, if you're a Trump supporter out there, you're listening to 770 KTTH right now, what's going to prevent you from voting for Donald Trump in 2024? Ask yourself that question. What could possibly prevent? He dies? I mean, what could possibly prevent? Who's going to take Trump's position for you if you voted for Trump in 2024? We got to take a real quick break when we get back. More information about Pelosi on Wednesday and just Tom Hanks in the news yet again. Take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. Mr. Rance this afternoon. This segment's brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Nancy Pelosi in the news again now, but not for the impeachment, but she offered a speech on Wednesday that appeared to violate the spirit of her recent resolution eliminating gendered language from the chamber's written rules. So what that means is Nancy Pelosi goes up yesterday and she says, "Hey, everybody, I've got this great idea that I want to submit to you. We will no longer be using gendered language. Man, woman, boy, girl, mother, father. We will use no. What's the phrase that people use now, Peyton? What's the youth use for describing non-binary?
Yeah, non-binary. There it is. I wasn't going to remember that, but you did. Good job.
We will be using non-binary language. They, them, they're completely grammatically incorrect. But that's what she wanted to submit. So now you would imagine that if you write a resolution putting that forward, that you would include the language that you're talking about, right? You would say, we're not going to be using gendered language anymore, so would you all, please, you and you and they and them and their, please accept this. But instead, it came across as pretty awkward. Here's Nancy Pelosi and just trying to awkwardly work her way through this.
This is not theoretical. And this is not motivated by partisanship. I stand before you today as an officer of the Constitution, a Speaker of the House of Representatives. I stand before you as a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a daughter.
Whoops. Yeah. Whoops. I mean, and she goes on to say, she just goes on to hammer down on that. But we're supposed to be getting rid of that language, right? And so you can't even do it yourself. I don't even think that she realizes what she's saying. So the actual resolution read, strike father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, first cousin, nephew, niece, husband, wife, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, stepfather, stepmother, so on and so forth, all the way down. No longer use that language. They, them. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. So Kevin McCarthy came out and he called it stupid. And I think that is probably the best way you could put that. Kevin McCarthy standing up, House Minority Leader, saying that it is just stupid. And he's exactly right. It's incredibly stupid to put that forth. But again, when you are that engaged in the machine of politics, when you are that engaged, these kinds of things are meant to distract. These kinds of resolutions, these kinds of things that you put forward, these are meant to distract the voting population. These are meant to be fun things, bread and circus. Look at this. Don't pay attention to the fact that every year we send billions of dollars to foreign countries so that they're more inclined to let American multinational corporations come in and do business. Ignore the fact that we literally steal money from you in the form of taxes, that we've been taxed well over 40% in some cases. In California, some people potentially could be taxed at something like 60%. Forget the fact, just forget all that stuff, right? And pay attention to gendered language. I'll give you another example of this bread and circus that we have now in the United States. And I'm all for a good time. Don't get me wrong. Jack Stein likes to have a good time. I enjoy being around other people. I enjoy celebrating. I enjoy tradition. I enjoy family, albeit mine is very small, but I enjoy it regardless. Tom Hanks is going to host a star-studded virtual celebration for Joe Biden, for the Joe Biden inauguration. I ask myself, why does Tom Hanks want to be involved with this? It's because he wants to let everybody know, this is my crew, this is my people, and everybody's fine with it. I'll give you an example. Let's just say that Miley Cyrus wanted to sing at the Trump inauguration. Do you think anybody would be okay with that? Not that she would, but let's just say this is 4 years ago, and Miley Cyrus wanted to sing at the Trump administration. Would anybody say that that's acceptable? She'd be lambasted. People would say that she's a traitor. People would say that she is a seditionist. How dare she? That she's a white supremacist. People would come to the nastiest things about her that you could possibly think of. But Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump, he just wants to go and host a star-studded virtual celebration for Joe Biden. Whee! So it's going to be, again, completely virtual. Superstar musician for President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. And there's going to be Aunt Clemens, it's going to be Justin Timberlake, there's going to be Demi Lovato, John Bon Jovi. It's going to be amazing. John Bon Jovi. Remember John Bon Jovi, everybody? Remember Bon Jovi? Remember those great hits from Bon Jovi? So they're going to show up. It's going to be 90 minutes long. It's going to air at 8:30. It's going to be total nonsense, and it is there to distract you. It is there so that you have warm feelings towards President Joe Biden getting inaugurated. So again, due to the coronavirus pandemic, the inauguration committee has focused on virtual events. This is dystopian. This is odd. This is bizarre. This will be awkward. People should actually hire me more for consulting. People should come to me more. And I'm not just talking about the GOP, but if the DNC came to me and they said, Jack Stein, how should we do the inauguration? And admittedly, let's just say they're paying me a lot of money and I had no moral standards and I was willing to sell my soul, much like many members of our House of Representatives. Let's just say I was willing to do that and I said, okay, I'll take your money, DNC. Here's what you do. You make it as presidential as you possibly can. You have it be very formal. Lots of shots of of W. Bush. Lots of shots of the Clintons. Lots of shots of Obama. Lots of, you wheel in any old members from the GOP that you possibly can. Get anybody who wants to be there. Make it seem like a really, you don't get Justin Timberlake. This is not the Super Bowl halftime special. This is an inauguration. Make it as presidential as you possibly can in order to dupe the American people. That's what I would tell them. But instead, what they're trying to do is they're trying to do this very kind of fun thing. And it will be awkward. It will be weird. I encourage you to watch it, if only for the memes, because you're going to have Joe Biden clapping along to Justin Timberlake, who he doesn't even know who that person is. He doesn't even know who Demi Lovato is. Kamala Harris is going to be there laughing awkwardly, enjoying all of her new powers, scheming about the day that Joe Biden leaves office. This will be apparent to us, but if nothing for the memes, please take time to go watch this because it will be absolutely ridiculous. So why they do this? What is the motivation for the DNC to just dump a ton of money into this and have this huge virtual thing take what's the phrase that people use, Peyton, with the take precedent? That's not the phrase that I'm looking for. There's a specific word out there. Take action. Let's just say that. Take motion. Why do they want people to come and see this? Why do they want people to pay attention to this? Because there are things going around you right now in government that are atrocious. There are things going on right now in your country that you should be paying attention to, that you should be deeply upset about. You should be upset about the fact that your government took away your ability to work for something like close to a year. You should be upset about the fact that local restaurants are closing at unusually high rates, to put it nicely. You should be upset about the fact that that people in your own community are getting fined for not wearing a mask, that people are getting thrown out of businesses for not complying, right? These are the things that you should be upset about. And yet they're going to have this huge kind of thing to distract you. You should be upset about the fact, by the way, that your people in your country, in the United States, were made to drink poisoned water. I'll give you an example. The former Michigan health chief, Nick Lyon, has been charged with 9 counts of involuntary manslaughter in the Flint water crisis. This should be national news. The Flint water crisis is an atrocious example of how government can just go horribly, horribly wrong in management. And it should be held to a specific standard within the media. People should be pointing this out and saying, how could this go on in the United States? How could this go on for years? You have children dying from lead poisoning and Legionnaire's disease. You have people with irreversible disabilities based on the amount of lead that was in the water. And it just kind of was allowed to happen. I'll remind people that President Obama went to speak to the people of Flint in 2015, 2016. And he did this thing where he got up on the stage and he said, I'm going to tell you all, I'm here to fix the water problem. I'm going to tell you all that you live in the greatest country in the world. And then he did this really awkward optic where he said, oh, hold on a minute. My throat hurts. Someone bring me a glass of water. You can go watch the footage right now. Someone brings him out. And this is in Flint, Michigan, where, again, the water is poisonous and tainted. Someone brings him a glass of water. He takes a sip of it. And everyone in the audience goes, no, don't drink that water. And he goes, oh, it tastes fine to me. It is exceedingly awkward. And yet, we're supposed to be okay with it. We're supposed to be okay with the fact that people in the United States were dying from Legionnaire's disease. These are the things that I think that people need to pay attention to more. Not this bread and circus, not this fun song and dance that we're going to be seeing with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all these people going to this fun ceremony. People have a right to be upset. And people tell me often, they say, Jack, you know, whenever you do radio, you just sound so irritated with your country. And I say, yeah, there's a lot to be irritated about. There's a lot to be irritated about, particularly when mainstream media tells me that I need to focus on things like Tom Hanks coming to host a star-studded virtual celebration. I care much more about the children in Flint than I do about Tom Hanks. So I'll tell you what, Joe Biden, how about you take that 90 minutes and you get rid of that whole thing, and you do a 90-minute special dedicated. It's a fundraiser for the children of Flint, Michigan. How about you do that? I think that would be a lot better use of everybody's time if you could get people to donate to those families than have you do a stupid song and dance with Justin Timberlake and Demi Lovato. I think that would be a much more worthwhile endeavor than having Tom Hanks tell us all about how you're going to be the next president of the United States. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rantz. Got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. Jack Stein in for Jason Rantz this afternoon. Jason is going to be on Tucker Carlson in about an hour. Again, something that I could not do. A crippling anxiety I have had my entire life. So the idea that I would get on TV and do what I do on the radio, not a thing. Not a thing in Jack Stein's arsenal. So I recommend that everybody check out Mr. Rantz when he is on Carlson.
Don't you run a YouTube channel?
I do have a YouTube.
Aren't you on camera for that YouTube channel?
Yeah, but that's different because I control it. I control every aspect of it. I can edit out all my ums and anything. I make a stupid face or I wipe my nose. I can edit all that out. If I'm live on Tucker Carlson, everyone will see me and they'll say, wow, what a good looking guy. But then they'll say, why does he look so awkward? Why does he look like he's holding in a burp? I mean, people would literally...
Think about it this way. Rantz goes on Tucker Carlson for an average of like 3 minutes. He just has to make it 3 minutes without choking on air. And then he's good. It's that. I mean, your YouTube channels.
I couldn't do it.
How long are your YouTube episodes that you put out?
3 minutes.
See, you just got to go 3 minutes. It's perfect practice.
Human Genius is the name of my YouTube channel. I am worried often that it will be taken down. I put a tremendous amount of thought and heart into my YouTube channel, and I worry regularly that it's going to be taken down because I don't share the mainstream opinions that other people have. And so I worry about things like censorship. And thankfully, Elon Musk came out on Monday and he was responding to a story satirizing big tech censorship. And he was saying that this is not a good thing. This is not the way that we should be going as a country. He tweeted out and he was saying a lot of people are going to be super unhappy with West Coast high tech as the de facto arbiter of free speech. And I couldn't agree with him more. A lot of people are going to be deeply upset about this. So Tulsi Gabbard came out on Monday as well. She was on Tucker Carlson, and she said that she took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and that includes fighting for freedom of speech for everyone, whether we agree on free speech or not. She also told Tucker Carlson that the leaders of this country can fight back against big tech.
Well, first of all, let's just be clear from the outset, as we're seeing now, once again, how dangerous these big tech monopolies are and how imperative it is that we break them up, that we actually bring about solutions to break up the power that they have amassed. I think the important thing is that we do this through legislative changes and reforms, not through throwing Molotov cocktails and having riots. And this is where all of us come into play, that we as voters, we need to make sure that we are choosing leaders who are motivated by serving the American people, upholding our constitutional freedoms and upholding our democracy more than being motivated by selfish interests and how do I please my big tech monopoly donors.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Tulsi Gabbard. She is a moderate Democrat. Some people might even say that she's kind of an old school Democrat. And if I had to vote between Joe Biden and Tulsi Gabbard, I would vote for Tulsi Gabbard 7 days out of the week. No questions asked. And I agree with her on many, many policy issues. Now, when it comes to this in particular, I don't think a lot of people realize that Amazon Web Services controls something to the effect of 66% of all the cloud hosting services for websites. That is huge. Apple controls something like 14%. That's infrastructure for people to put their website onto the internet. And the rest of them are kind of these mom and pop little shops along the way. So when she says we need to break up these monopolies, I have to maintain consistency here, and I have to say, no, I don't want government to come in and do that. I don't want that to happen whatsoever. What I would want to see happen is this: allowing people who are right-leaning, people who are conservative, people who are independent, to form cloud services of their own so that they can have those services for people who think that way, right? I don't want to see people shut out of public discourse. So if Amazon is going to shut us out, if someone else started a new company and they said, I am going to have a social media platform for right-leaning or independent or conservative thinkers, and it's going to be the YouTube for these people, I would gladly shift all of my content from YouTube to that platform. I would do it in a day. Because if YouTube is going to be constantly threatening me with censorship, I have no reason to be there anymore. As a matter of fact, if I post a video on my YouTube channel, Human Genius, inevitably what will happen is a little blurb will show up underneath my video that will say something to the effect of, Joe Biden has won the election. The AP has certified Joe Biden's election. Or it will say something like coronavirus. Or it will say something like QAnon. And they will link it to Wikipedia or the AP. And that is their attempt at kind of dissuading you from posting anything that might go against the grain. They are fact-checking you, and that's in quotations, in real time. My video goes up. Let's say I make a video about President Trump, it goes up immediately. It has that little blurb underneath it because Donald Trump now in the metadata of the website is something to be flagged. So I worry about my content, yes, but if there was another source, if there was another place where I could put my content, I would do it in a day. And again, there are 70 million people out there who voted for President Trump. They have no tolerance for people getting booted off of these services. We saw it with Twitter. Twitter is down something like $50 billion. That is huge since they decided to dump President Trump. YouTube suspended Donald Trump's channel just last week as well. Thankfully, the heroes at Snapchat stood up and they were a little late to the dance, but they decided to do that as well, as if anybody uses Snapchat anymore. But point being, is that if you're going to be consistent in your principles, if you're going to be consistent in the way that you view government and business, I take a very libertarian stance on this. We can form new spaces. We can buy more cloud service space. We can go and we can make that for ourselves. We don't need government to step in. I guarantee you, the more that Amazon or Apple or anybody else oversteps their reach and they try to cancel businesses like Parler, people are going to be saying, I need an alternative source. We need an alternative space. Markets are very organic. They respond to empty spaces. They want to fill that empty space. And so this idea that there's no way that that could happen is just, it doesn't make any sense. That's what markets do. If it doesn't happen, what do we get? We get black markets. Look at Prohibition. People wanted alcohol. What did they do? They went to the black market to get it. The same thing will happen here with online services. You will see a new Facebook, which is for right-leaning individuals, conservative individuals, independent individuals. I guarantee it, in a matter of years. Jack Stein filling in for Jason Rantz. Got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back for the 5 o'clock hour after this.